Scripture reading this afternoon will be taken from Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Again, if you're reading from the Pew Bible, that'll be taken off of page 655. And again, that's Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And it reads as follows. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household?
Good evening. Always good to have an opportunity to come together to worship. Had a first tonight. We had like no pew packers tonight. I don't know if it had to do with, I know some are traveling. I don't know if it was the traffic out on 285. We had one or two, but that was a first, and that was a little disappointing, but it happens, I guess. Enjoy working with those folks down here and teaching them and singing those songs with them, and they are very, very encouraging to me. Their enthusiasm and the questions, and also seeing how much they've learned over the years, different ones that have kind of grown up through those things. But yeah, no pew packers tonight, other than Trey. Trey, wherever you're at, faithful, he was here. But we didn't have anybody else, and so we didn't really do a whole lot tonight with that. Appreciate those who went and sung with us at the nursing home this afternoon. That was an encouraging event as well. It's always good. We start singing and there aren't a lot of people, and then they start kind of wheeling their wheelchairs up and coming out of their rooms, and that's always encouraging to see the excitement that they have to see us there, and a lot of them that have heard these songs in years gone by that start singing, tapping their foot along with the music, an opportunity to talk with those folks as well when we're there. So that was a good activity today also. So, been a good day so far, and hopefully as we open God's Word tonight and study a little bit more, we can gain some insight on how He would have us to live our lives and some things, as Ryan said in his prayer, that we can take out so that we can be better equipped to teach others and to serve others out in the world. As I was listening to Ryan's prayer and he kept going, I thought, well, I may not have to preach. He said a lot of good things in that prayer, which was good because he hit on a lot of the points and things I wanted to discuss this evening. This time of year, as a teacher, very often people start coming up, and I remember Sherry, even I think it was last Sunday or Wednesday, I can't recall, and said, so when do you start back? July 31st. And so it's July, and so school is about to be back in. I think our Jean, a teacher, has to go back a little sooner in her school. And then I oftentimes am asking students and college students, when do you have to report? When do you go back to school? So it's that time of year. And then I was thinking, we've got, after this summer, a new quarter of classes coming up. So let me plug those real quick. Make sure you're participating in our Bible classes. That opportunity to learn and continue to grow and know more about God. The elders have put those classes in place. We've tried to set teachers in place to help you learn, to help you guide you through the Scriptures so that you can build yourself up. The classes for this coming quarter is going to be a 1 Corinthians class. There's going to be a class on the book of Job. There is going to be a parenting class. There's been a request for that since there are a lot of new parents. So we will have that. It's not exactly invite only, but if you fall into that category, it is going to be just a one quarter, most likely, class. But participate in that, because raising our children up is obviously very important to God, very important for our society as a whole, as we structure our families and teach them the right way. And then we also are going to have an evidence class, talking about the evidence of the Bible, talking about the evidences of the creation that God has put us in and provided for us, we being part of that creation. So looking forward to those upcoming classes, and encourage each one of you to be a part of those classes. Tonight, what I want to talk about is being a lifelong learner. And that's why, again, talking about schools getting ready to get back in, new quarter of classes coming about, even what we've been doing Sunday mornings with our elders, the things they've been teaching us about how they strive to shepherd the flock here at Avondale, and the things that they do to try to encourage us, to provide for us, to meet with us when we have needs, and also what we've been learning during our Wednesday night summer series. We're constantly learning. Or so I hope you are constantly learning. No matter your age, I've heard it said that even though school ends, your schooling at some point might end, education is never finished. And when you think about it too, the world's constantly teaching. Things are constantly teaching you everywhere you are. I can't even begin to enumerate all the things I'm learning all the time. No matter what it is I'm doing, I'm learning something. I've learned so much from my dad, because you sit with him or you're with him doing anything and he's going to talk and teach and show you a lot of different things. I read this here. I saw this here. You'll get texts from him. You'll get links. And he's always trying to share knowledge and share information. The last few days, I've been doing a lot of yard work, both at my yard and in Mom and Dad's house here, and then up at the baseball field, my second yard. And I'm working there and digging through the dirt and trying to figure out how to do certain things and work to make things look better and try to get things to grow and to try to build different things. And I was learning. I was with Carolyn's dad, and he is a mechanic, and he's just kind of a handyman, and I'm not. And so I was learning things from him, and when I was digging in the dirt too, you'd see real white sand. And then you'd see Georgia red clay. And then there'd be gray dirt. And I was doing that, I was going, man, this is just amazing what all's in the earth just here in this small place that I'm digging. But I was learning about levels and heights and how to cut, I mean, all kinds of things. But I was learning. And I can't tell you how many things I've learned from a lot of you in different ways, whether it's about being a husband or being a father, or however it is to serve in some capacity. I've learned from many of you over the years. I've been here since I was 2 years old, and so I've sat at the feet of many of you as Bible school teachers when I was a little one. And I've learned so many encouraging things from you as you led me through the Bible. And here I am now, still learning. And I hope you are too. Because again, learning should be a lifelong process. Never stop learning, because life never stops teaching. Who dares to teach must never cease to learn. And as Christians, we're told to go out and to preach and to teach. So we must then in turn continue to learn. As I said already, education is not something that we can finish. Dr. Seuss even said, the more you read, the more you will know, the more you learn, the more places you'll go. Learning is a treasure that will follow its owner everywhere it goes. There's an acronym, KEY, K-E-Y, and it stands for Keep Educating Yourself. So tonight, I want to encourage you to be a lifelong learner. I'm sure you've read things and seen studies that say as you gain an age, the more you read, the more you do crossword puzzles and different things to activate your mind, the better your memory is going to be. The more you're going to remember, the more sharp you're going to be. There's a lot of studies about that. Now, granted, sleeping and health and diet and all those things play into that as well. But keeping the mind sharp. God wants us to be learners. Throughout the New Testament, there are many appellations that we are called as Christians. We're sons of God. We're heirs. We're children. We're the church. We're believers. We're the spiritual Israel. And we could go on and on. But one of the things that we're called are disciples. The word disciples is used 260 or 70 times in the New Testament in one form or another. The word Christians only used 3. Now, not to say that's not an important name. Obviously, we put that name on because we are Christ-like, and that is who we are. But the word disciple comes from the Greek word, try to get this, mathetes. And that word means to be a student, to be a pupil, to be an apprentice, to be someone who wants to adhere to the teachings of one and to follow that one. Well, we should obviously be disciples, Christians of Christ. And we constantly have things that we can learn. First thing we have to have is humility. Sometimes we think we know it all. We don't think there's any more that we need to learn. I know enough and I'm going to stop. But education and our learning should never stop. A quote by Mark Twain that I really, really like, he says, when I was a boy of 14 years old, I was amazed at how ignorant my father was. When I was a man of 21, I was amazed at what my father had learned in those short 7 years. But what it is we've been hearing teaching, we've been given wisdom and direction, but we've closed our ears to it. We didn't want to hear it. We didn't think it was right. We didn't want to apply it. But once we do start applying those things, we realize, hey, this works. Mom and Dad were right. My Bible school teacher was right. This person, that person that might have given you some quality wisdom and instruction in whatever field it might have been, they might have been right if you would not have been so stubborn not to listen. We must be willing, first of all, to humble ourselves to want to learn, to want to listen to God and let it be His will and not our will that we want to abide by. Solomon, as a young man, asked for wisdom. He realizes, you've given me so many things, God. You've put me in this position as king, sitting on this throne as a young man. I need your wisdom. He had the humility. He recognized he needed that wisdom. In 1 Kings 3, that's what he asked for. Do we want wisdom? Do we want learning and knowledge like Solomon and like so many other figures that we can look at in Scripture? If we turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, if you'll be turning there with me. Proverbs chapter 1 is a great book that's full of wisdom. That's what Proverbs are said to be, are examples of wisdom. And as you open up in Proverbs chapter 1, it reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles." And here's the verse. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I think most people, if I were to walk up to you and say, "Are you a fool?" "No, I'm not a fool." And you might take an affront to that. But if you're not wanting God's wisdom, if you're not seeking out the knowledge that His Word provides to us, the proverb writer says, well, you're a fool if you despise wisdom and knowledge and wisdom and instruction. We must want to know God's Word. As you continue down into verse 30 of this same chapter, it says, "Wisdom calls aloud." I love the metaphor here. It personifies it. It gives it a female form. And it says, she is calling out, crying out in the streets. Wisdom's not hard to get. It's a matter of whether or not you're humble enough to receive it. "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourse. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her word. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Again, back to that idea of humility. How long will you want to be simple? How long do you not want to listen? And as you go through and get into chapter 2, and really the first 6, 7, 8 chapters of the book of Proverbs, it's an if-then. If you want wisdom and knowledge, then do this. If you want your life to go this direction, then do this. It's an if-then. The Bible is full of choices. You need to choose to be a lifelong learner, a disciple, a student, an adherent, a follower of God and of Christ and His teachings. But we first must humble ourselves and recognize we don't know it all. Not only do we not know it all, but I should want to know more so that I can better teach. As Ryan alluded to in his prayer, go out and be better equipped. We're told that this book, it can help us be partially equipped, a little equipped, maybe somewhat. No, thoroughly equipped for every good work. But we've got to know it and we've got to study it. In the Old Testament, God talks about His people being followers. But in the New Testament, again, the word we're focusing on tonight is being a disciple, being a learner, and a student of God and of Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." And then it goes on in verse 32, and it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Knowledge is power. I think Sir Francis Bacon said that. It's a quote from him. Knowledge is power. And you can look, and there are so many quotes about knowledge and wisdom, and it gives us freedom. Eric talked recently about physical freedom, and then he talked about religious freedom, and talked about all those different things. And when you go back and look at some of those speeches that he referenced, I teach a lot of Frederick Douglass literature, and Frederick Douglass talked a lot about education, about learning. He said, once you know how to read, you can never be a slave again. That idea of knowing what was out there. He even says, I didn't realize I was a slave until I learned to read and realized what I didn't know. Learned what was out there. Reading and learning and putting these things into our mind set us free. Spiritually, it's through God's Word. In 2 John 1:9, if we'll turn there, 2 John 1:9, we learn here that whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Doctrine meaning teachings. If you do not abide in the doctrines of Christ, you do not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both Father and Son. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine or teaching, do not receive it into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. We need to learn, but we need to learn from the right teacher. We need to know what God's teachings are, what Christ's teachings are, so that we can recognize error. There are people that are going to babble. There's going to be idle talking. There are going to be those that are going to try to teach us other things. We need to know God's Word so well that we can separate what's right and what's wrong. We need to be disciples, learners, adherents, and followers of God's teaching. The very definition of disciple is one who learns from his teacher. Obviously, as disciples, we're to make our goal to hang on every word of the Bible, of God's Word. We should be studying it, hearing it. But we can't sit idly by and just study it, but we must then apply it. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning verse 21, it says there, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many of you will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name.' And then I will declare to him, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. A wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man." There's that word foolish again. Those who despise wisdom and instruction are fools. "But he will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." There again is the lack of humility to listen, to build your house upon the rock, to build your house upon Christ, to build your house upon the teachings of Christ, and instead to build it on your own thoughts, your own way of doing things. And consequently, there was a great fall. In the book of James, we get a similar idea. And James says in chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word." We don't just need to know it. That's obviously the start. But wisdom then becomes when we can make the application of the knowledge. "But be ye doers of that implanted word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, and he goes away, and he immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty..." And that's interesting again. Liberty. It sets us free. God's teaching, this book, this knowledge, this wisdom is liberty to us. The other thing that's great to know God's Word is to know the promises, to know what His book has taught, so that we know we have a different hope. Tomorrow may not be the greatest day for you. Work may not go so well. This may happen, that may happen. You're going through things, but what a hope we have if you know God's Word. If you're a student of God's Word and know where we are headed despite the problems of this world. That's what we need to be students of. The perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. The reason people could tell if one was a disciple of Jesus was by his actions. We sing a song, "They'll know we are Christians by our love." Do people recognize you're peculiar? Do people recognize that you are set apart? Do people recognize that you are a Christian by the way that you act? And more importantly, very often, by the way you react to the things you face. We must be learners and doers of God's Word. What's the Word teach us? Well, we can learn to be. And now we're not going to go to every one of these passages because, well, it's a pretty big book. But what a book it is, and what amazing things it has to teach us. Let us learn to be a good husband or wife. Isn't that what God would want of us? To be the best husband or wife we can be? We could go through Scripture in so many places and see what kind of husband we should be, men. What kind of wives we should be, ladies. We can go to the book of Ephesians, or we can go to the end of Proverbs in 31 and see that virtuous woman. We can go so many places and see what a man and a woman should be in that marital relationship that God established in the beginning. The Bible teaches us how to be a great partnership in marriage, men and women. Secondly, we can learn to be good moms and dads. Same thing, we can go to that book of Ephesians chapter 5 again, and we can be good parents, ones that guide our children. Back to the book of Proverbs when it says, listen to your father, listen to the words of your mother. We can be guiding our children so that they too, we need to discipline. The Bible teaches that we can learn how to be good moms and dads. And then, what about Matthew chapter 5 where it just talks about let your light so shine? You need to make sure the light's shining at home. Not just out in the world, but in the home, so that we're being the examples we should be in the way that we study, in the way that we pray, in the way that we treat our spouse, in the way that we treat our children, the way we talk, or maybe we shouldn't be talking about others in certain situations. Let your light so shine. And what about the Matthew 7:12 principle, as some people call it? Do unto others. That needs to happen in the home. That is teaching your children. We need to make sure we're the best moms and dads, and this book teaches us that. Learn to be a Christian man or woman. Titus chapter 2, older women teach the younger women. Older men be an example to those younger men. We need to be learning how to serve in the church. Same thing we can get in these similar books in 1 Timothy 3 and in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, qualifications of deacons and elders. We need to learn what those are. We need to raise our children up, the young men of our homes, to be those kind of men. And we need to make sure that we're learning what those things are and that we are exemplifying those things in our lives each and every day that we live. And two, in studying those things, to be better equipped, one of the things that these religious denominations that we've been studying have a problem with is church organization. The more you know about the organization of the church, the more you can teach against that error. And you can help them appreciate. We have a heavenly headquarters. Each church then has its own eldership, and that it's at that local congregation. We can break down some of the lack of the incorrect teaching in those areas if, again, we know what those qualifications are. And where is it again? In God's Word. Be a student of the Word. Know those qualifications, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. Learn to behave like a Christian. We would think that's easy, but once you become a Christian, we're called a babe in Christ. It's a learning process. I've talked and studied with people before that have told me, I'm afraid to make that step. I don't know everything yet. I'm afraid I'm not perfect enough yet. Well, if you wait until then, guess what? You're going to never be saved. You're never going to know it all, but you're going to continue to grow. We start out on milk and then eventually we move to meat. We know all of those analogies in Scripture. We need to make sure that we understand what it means to behave like Christians. We'll turn to Romans chapter 12. Starting in verse 9 to the end of the chapter. Hate those things that are sinful. Love those things that are good. It talks about being sorrowful when others are sorrowful, being joyous when the body of Christ is joyous. Do not seek revenge, because that's whose? That's God's. But instead, be kind to those people, and you'll lump coals of fire upon their head. On and on, the Bible teaches these things. We've turned it into, in our own vernacular and idioms we have, to kill them with kindness and things of that nature. It frustrates me sometimes when people think they have these great revelations, kill them with kindness, and they throw all these things around. It's like, that's God's Word. They don't realize that those things, that they go, man, this works, this is a great idea, God's Word. But we've put it in some other package and people love it and they think it's amazing and it's so revolutionary. God's Word. We need to be students of God's Word. We need to be disciples, pupils, adherents, and followers of the teachings of Christ. And we could go on and on. Learn to be a good worker. Look to the ant, O sluggard. Look to the ant. Look at how it tells us to be a slave or a master and all of those things. And not doing it for the eye service of men, but doing it for God. I don't look, and I know I've said this many a time from the pulpits, and I've taught it in this class over here many a times. I'm not working for the principal or this area superintendent or the superintendent or on and up. That's not who I work for. I'm working for God. And if I work for God, guess what? My principal's going to like the work I do. The superintendent and on, they're going to like the work I do because I'm working for God. Know how to be a good worker. Work as though your boss is God. Do the things that God would expect you to do, and as far as honesty, as far as hard work. Matthew chapter 5, some of those things we study about going the extra mile, that's about just keeping the peace. Somebody asks you to do something, do that and do more. Don't argue about it. You can maybe discuss it later and say, hey, can we maybe do this differently? But don't create a problem. We need to be the type of people that don't grumble, but we do work and are hard workers all the time. We've talked a lot about money recently in the classes with the elders. Same thing. Want to know how to manage your money? God's Word. One of the things that I know they've talked about, and we of course knew before, but if man wants to eat, he needs to work. We need to understand that the Bible teaches us how to be good managers of our money and good hard workers. Want to be a good friend? God's Word. You want to be a good friend? God's Word. Don't tell lies to your friends. Don't talk behind their backs and gossip. You want to be a good friend? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You want to be a good friend? Proverbs 27:17. Love this verse. It's iron sharpen iron. So a good friend sharpens the countenance of his friends. Be accountable to your friends. Help your friends be accountable to what's right. Build them up. Iron sharpens iron. You want to be a good friend? God's Word. You want to be a good teacher? God's Word. Read the parables. Look how Jesus taught. Jesus was always teaching. He found a moment. We used to talk about Kodak moments back when we took pictures. You hoped you had your camera. You hoped there was film in it. And you were able to catch that Kodak moment. You need to be looking for teaching moments all the time, because they're there. And Christ took advantage. This Saturday, we're planning to have the giveaway. Sunday, it's about teaching. When we talk to them out there, we can teach. We need to be prepared. And how do you be a good teacher? How to be a good teacher? Look at Christ. I remember preaching a sermon up here, and I know we talked about in our practical Christianity class, what would Jesus do? That phenomenon back in the 90s. But more importantly, and I remember preaching it here, what did Jesus do? Do we know that so we can then act the way He would? To teach like Him, to serve like Him. As Ryan mentioned in his prayer, to be sympathetic, to be loving, to be compassionate, all those things like Christ. We need to make sure that we're doing that. And I could go on and on and verse after verse, but know that you don't need to go anywhere outside of God's Word to be the best parents, best husband, best worker, best friend, best teacher, best student, whatever it is, be a student of God's Word. Where are you? How are you growing? How is your fruit? You need to make sure you're able to, as it talked about there in 1 James, to look into the mirror and recognize. Be willing to be convicted if you recognize I'm not doing some things I need to. Be willing to do that and not walk away and think, oh, I didn't see that. How often do you walk away from the mirror and forget completely what you look like? That's what that scripture's saying. That's silly to even think about. If you see error, if you recognize there's somewhere that God's Word's convicted you, change it. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Want to change. Want to do better. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Again, humility. I'm willing to recognize I've got areas to improve in. We need to make sure that we're students and learners. Lifelong learners. Lifelong learners of Jesus. Four things we can learn from Jesus, and the lesson will be yours. Number one, learn to pray. Learn to pray like Jesus. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus goes away to be alone to pray. If Jesus, who is God incarnate, needed to pray, you need to pray. I need to pray. We need to make sure that our prayer life is healthy. Find time to pray in private. When Jesus teaches His disciples how to pray, one of the things He says is don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be out in the public praying with big words, but pray in private. And He who hears you in private, He will reward you. Make sure that we find those times to spend privately, in solitude, in prayer to God. Make sure that it's real. Make sure that it's deep. Make sure that you're talking as you would to your father. Jesus needed to pray. We need to pray. We need to continue to study the way He prayed, what He prayed, and what He told us to pray. That model prayer, you'll hear people sometimes, especially around sports, they want to say that prayer. Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. It tells you the ingredients. Not to recite that exact prayer, not that it's necessarily wrong, but the ingredients of a quality prayer. Jesus wanted us to pray. Jesus was an example of prayer. We need to learn and be pupils of Christ in His prayer life. Second thing we need to learn from Jesus is we need to study like Jesus studied. We need to study and learn God. Again, He was God incarnate, but He was constantly learning what God wanted. He was constantly teaching. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, if we turn over there, we can see this example here. Luke chapter 4, verse number 16, and it reads, "So He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as was His custom, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." He was involved in God's Word. He, God incarnate, studied and taught. Remember when He got left behind? Where was He? Well, I must be about my Father's business. He was teaching and learning and wanting others to learn. We need to be students of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 reads, "But be diligent to present yourselves approved of God, a worker that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to understand how important knowing this is, because again, it's also told, we're told it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Don't use it in a way that'll hurt people. Make sure you're using it, rightly dividing it, so that we can teach it. Matthew chapter 5, again, those Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart." What do we need to be studying? Purity. We need to be studying the fruits of the Spirit. We need to be putting those things into our lives and pushing out those evil thoughts, pushing out those things of the world and replacing those with those pure thoughts, because we're told that blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. We need to make sure that we're pushing those pure things into our hearts and pushing the evil out. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verse number 11, he says, "Your word I've hidden in my heart, so that I'll sin not against thee." If we turn over to the book of Philippians, let's turn there real quick. I remember these ideas here one time when Jonathan was preaching many years ago. But talking about here in Philippians chapter 4, several verses we're very familiar with. We can start in verse 4 of chapter 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to man. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And I have a note in my Bible. I remember, like I said, when Jonathan was preaching from this text, and he said, "That's like a cow chewing on cud," to meditate. The other thing that we need to learn from Christ, number one, good prayer life. Number two, to make sure that we study and know God's Word. Number three, something we can learn from Christ is we need to meditate. Christ would go off by Himself to get away from the troubles of the world, to focus on prayer, to focus on God, to focus at what was on at hand for Him that He needed to do. And here, we need to make sure we're meditating on the right things. And that idea of a cow chewing on his cud, maybe not the most appetizing thought, but it's something that you go over and over and over again. Something you've imbibed, if you're not sure what cud is, and something that then is regurgitated and it's chewed on. "Oh, I've heard this before, I don't need to pay attention. Oh, I've heard that before, I don't need to look." Sounds like we're becoming stubborn. Sounds like we're not allowing ourselves to be humble enough to listen to it again. We're told several times throughout Scripture there is no other gospel. Eric talked recently about the gospel a lot. And there's not another gospel. It's the same now and forever and always will be. We need to make sure that we're meditating on this Word and making sure that we're continually doing so that we can grow and that we can be, again, better equipped. And finally, back to one of the points that I started with, we need to learn from Christ, be a disciple of Christ, be a follower of Christ, an adherent by being humble. Christ, though he was king, though he's creator, was humble. Humble, of course, to the point of death, but during his life, humble enough that we're told that he didn't even have a place to lay his head. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but even the Son of Man had nowhere to pillow his head. He would go over and eat with the sinners, those people who were kind of scorned and pushed to the side, even to the point that people asked the disciples, "Why is your master eating with the sinners?" Because he said, "Well, I'm the physician. Those who are sick need to be treated. We need to make sure we don't find ourselves so high that we're not willing to go and to teach those that we might look down upon in some way or another." And ultimately, John 13, which we're all very, very familiar with, Christ gets down on his hands and knees, girds himself, and washes the feet of the disciples. And finally, here in the book of Philippians, it would be apropos to read where it says that Christ, beginning in chapter 2, it says, verse number 3, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than yourself." If you're Christ, it would have been so easy. I'm better than. Why am I dying for? Why am I going through? Why am I not prophesying or telling you who hit me? Or why am I not getting myself down off the ground? Why humbled himself? Lowliness of mind, and he esteemed each. We should esteem each other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for one's own interest, but also for the interest of others. Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." We can be heirs with Christ. Humble yourselves, and he will lift you up. We need to make sure that we are disciples of Christ, that we are learning, following, adhering to the words that God has provided us. What a blessing that we have this book. Very rarely do you go, or I would say not at all, that you go through the Bible and it says, "Don't do this," and it doesn't tell us what to do. He tells us what to get away from, what to cling to, how to deal with this, how to deal with that. But if you don't know it, you will find yourself struggling. You will find yourself lost. But if you adhere to God's Word, if you're a true disciple to God's Word and learn of Christ, you will be free. The truth will set you free. The law of liberty. One final verse, and this is part of our mission here at Avondale, and this is part of why I thought about this too. In fact, when Eric got in touch with me earlier this week and said, "Hey, I'm going to leave Sunday afternoon to get to a lectureship." And what's a lectureship about? Learning. He's going to learn. I look at him stand up here and preach and go, "Man, he knows a lot." Going to learn. He's going to probably preach and teach there as well, but going to learn. Learning is part of what we need to continue to do. The book of Acts, as I was just flipping through, if you think about the Bereans who were looking at the Scriptures daily to make sure that those things were right. But our mission here at Avondale, the very first one is to learn God. And over in the book of, if I can get there here, trying to get over there, Mark chapter, I knew I'd do this to myself. Matthew, maybe it's Matthew chapter 8. I know what it says, so I don't necessarily have to get there. I'm not finding it right off, but it says, "Come learn of me." There it is, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle." That's meekness, tough lesson, one we need to learn. "And lowly in heart," there's humility. and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So let's learn God, let's love one another, let's love the world, and go out and light the world. Because of all the things that we've studied, we learned, and that we know now because of the Bible, let us go out and share those. If you haven't studied and learned before now what the gospel is, it's very simple. The gospel is that Jesus came, He lived a perfect life, lived an example for us to learn from, died upon a cross for our sins, and was resurrected so that we know that one day we too will be resurrected if we're faithful to Him. All you have to do is to hear, believe, confess that Jesus is God's Son, repent of your sins, and be baptized. That's what you need to know and learn from this Word, first of all. And then from there, grow. Continue to learn. Continue to add to your faith. And God gives you what you need to add. And this book can take you a lot of places and can help you in all walks of your life. If you've fallen away, you've allowed maybe your study to become maybe less and less, maybe you haven't studied and allowed as much as you should, and you've allowed yourself to stray, tonight's an opportunity to get that corrected as well. But I encourage you tonight, be a diligent student of God's Word. Be a disciple. Over 200, almost 300 times that word's used in the New Testament. It's important that we be that. And not just when we're in school are we students, but we need to be lifelong learners, learners of Christ. If there's any need that you have this evening, you can come as we stand and as we sing.